This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2330. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave, between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded January 15th, Antigua, Argentina, Cuba, Europe, Finland, Germany, International Vacuum, Iran, Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Solomon Islands, Spain, Turkey, UK, USA, Venezuela, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, updating the situation of the 1160 station in Antigua. Steve Harvey Nielsen reports to Medium Wave Info as of January 5th. It had been reported off the air from running low power, but on January 5th around 0700, I had a fair signal here in Denmark. So I reached out to Nathan P. Owens of Caribbean Radio Lighthouse about the current status. He said, "We are still cleaning and making repairs. We're running about 8 kilowatts on 1160. I do not expect that we'll get any higher. We are broadcasting 24/7. Doing our best to keep the current transmitter running until the new transmitter arrives, and using the same 212-foot quarter-wave antenna." Argentina non, don't you believe the DX news? On actualidade de Xix, the DX program of RAI via WRMI, is airing Tuesdays at 2300 on 9455. On January 13th, I paid attention to the details of the DX news, and found that it was very outdated. In fact, some info from me that was 3 years old. This may well apply to any DX programs in the other languages of RAI. Why in the world are they running these very old, outdated programs? Things always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. It's the same old story, but in case we need to remind you, 15140 is supposed to carry the first hour in English every day at 20 UT. However, for example, on January 12th, at 1955, they were still broadcasting in Creole, but the modulation stopped abruptly at 1956, before the program was really over. And it did not resume, although the carrier remained on the air, with no English. This same thing happens repeatedly, as if it's on an automatic timer. Same applies to parallel 11760, which at least has a clear signal, while 5140 has that howling wind noise. 11155, I think, is a significant aeronautical or military frequency. But in Play DX, Roberto Pavanello reports, apparently a European pirate, we don't know where, at 11 UT on the 4th of January. Radio Pamela, playing music in English. Finland, from Jim Salati to DXing.info FB group, January 5th, via IRCADX monitor, Zoom Rock FM, despite the name, is a brand new medium wave station, testing on 1242 kHz from Turku, Finland. Test running at 500 to 1000 watts. With unmistakable AM feel many of us have missed, he says. Since officially launched on 1 February, broadcasting around the clock, Zoom Rock is a private station led by well-known Finnish radio professional Harri Kujala. Testing began on 4 January. He knows radio and cares deeply about how it sounds. The kind of station that reminds you why medium wave still has a place on the dial. The Finnish radio scene is quietly becoming more interesting again. We already have several special shortwave hobby stations, and Zoom Rock will be Finland's first station fully dedicated to medium wave. With Zoom Rock, medium wave in Finland is no longer silent, and that alone is worth celebrating. Germany's Deutsche Welle was supposed to air its final shortwave broadcast on December 31st. That was in the Arabic language. However, Alex Mialikov says, Adam Amirhanov from Bucharest reported hearing Deutsche Welle in Arabic via Issoudun, France again on Wednesday, 14 January. No details here, but the old Arabic schedule was at 18:30 to 19:15 on Wednesdays, 11:830 and 15:275. And also Wednesdays only at 1215 to 1300 on 15390 and 17570. So perhaps the operators in France did not get the message. International vacuum, non. Alan Weiner at WBCQ talks about his laser broadcasting system. Something unique. Actually broadcasting their programming via laser into the universe. On the last Alan Weiner Worldwide, he actually mentioned the wavelength of 535 nanometers. What would that be in hertz? Richard Langley converted it to 560 terahertz. Those are the wavelength and frequency of green laser light. Iran, non, due to the situation there. The U.S. government's radio Fardaw has restarted on Saturday, January 10th. Alex Myalikov got this original schedule, although I think there have been a number of changes and extensions since then. It was 0530 to 08 UT on 15430, 08 to 12 on 15110, 12 to 15 on 15310, and 15 to 17 on 13755. All those via the UAE site and with characteristic off-frequenciness, I measured it on 13754.986, January 10th at 1635. Iran did not bother to jam the original Radio Fardaw, but it wasn't long until they started jamming this one. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight explains, back in the late 1990s, a number of low-power transmitters, 10, 20, or 50 kilowatts, were installed at the Kamalabad site, presumably for jamming. Last time I heard the Iranian bubble jammers on HF was in 2013, aimed at blocking Israel's Persian service. I expect the jamming equipment is kept in standby. Fardaw on HF was never jammed in recent years as the programming consisted almost entirely of popular music. The Iranian authorities were probably of the opinion that the audience on shortwave was minimal anyway. With the current unrest, I guess that people are resorting to all possible ways of hearing the latest news, and many would be turning to shortwave radio now. Richard Langley says strong bubble jamming noted 13 January at 1309 on 15310 using the Lufthansa SDI receiver in Holland. And here's an example Richard Langley recorded. The website, www.radiofardaw.com, says, in translation, reboot shortwaves to hear the sound of tomorrow's radio in Iran. And here's a later Radio Fardaw schedule, effective January 14th, via Alan Holder. 0530 to 08 UT on 15430 and 530 to 14 on 15615. 08 to 14, 15110. 14 to 15 on 15310, 15 to 21 on 7500, and 15 to 17 on 13755. By the way, we had a report that Kari Lake had said that the Kuwait USAGM shortwave site would not be used for Radio Fardaw. Not allowing Kuwait came from Oliver Darcy in his status newsletter via Steve Herman. But that is not all. Mauno Rido reports of WRTH, a new target broadcast to Iran, Radio Shabname, has started on 7465 at 1530 to 1630 as of the 50th of January. That's spelled S-H-A-B-N-A-M-E. Zaharis Langis in Greece was listening to this and says, too many mentions of Trump and exiled King Reza Pahlavi on that station. Here's the rest of its schedule, at least initially. At 1530, 7465, and 17540. From 1830, 9680. In fact, I was hearing this 9680 broadcast until it went off at 1859. Nothing but talk, all in Persian. I did not get an ID. And another clandestine, which has been around for a while, Radio Zaman-e-Bidari. Mauno Ritla says, that was the one on 9680 at 1830, January 15th, while there was another Farsi program on 9705. The wires may have been crossed. That would presumably be Radio Zaman-e-Bidari. David Cole forwards a National Review article, January 12th, by Jim Garrity, including this: why we need Voice of America beaming into Iran, although it doesn't seem to make much distinction between that and Radio Fardaw, which is part of RFERL. Anyhow, Fardaw is increasing its coverage to include 10-minute audio news bulletins at the top of the hour 24/7. Netherlands and the British DX Club, Paul Watson says, on January 11th, the Dutch low-power station Piepzender has been testing on 6005 today with a good signal. At 1720, a relay of the Dutch pirate station Radio Contikenso, in parallel with Contikenso's other frequencies, 5800, 3920, and 1665. Attracting a lot more attention, at least in Europe, is Super Clan Radio, CLAN, on 5955. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener reports that Herbert Visser is behind it. On 10 January, it was on the air from 9 until 15 UT with music by David Bowie, played to commemorate the 10th anniversary of his death. A reply from Visser explained that 5955 would be on the air only irregularly, no regular broadcast, but would be every Sunday on Channel 292, 6070, from 8 to 9 UT. Superclan is apparently a licensed station, although low-powered. Howell Kuhl reported to BDXC the power was 200 watts. Via Sheldon Harvey and CIDX Messenger, Radio Nigeria Kaduna urged to restore shortwave service, according to Radio Info Africa on 7 January. It's facing calls to revive shortwave, along a lifeline for millions of listeners across northern Nigeria and beyond. Many loyal listeners, particularly Hausa, Nupe, Kanuri, and Fulfulde speakers, have been unable to access the station's program since the decline of shortwave broadcasts. Despite this, management has prioritized online streaming platforms, convenient for urban audiences, but remain inaccessible to many due to high data costs. Radio Nigeria Kaduna's revival of shortwave could once again extend its reach to millions of listeners, preserving its legacy as one of Africa's most influential radio institutions. What's the frequency, Kenneth? This story never mentions. It was on 6090 and 7235, but it's been gone for many years. Here's another chance to hear the English Hour from Polish Radio External Service, thanks to WRMI. It's at 04 UT on 7570. During a relay of WRN, using a remote in New Zealand, Ron Howard in California says, Solomon Islands 5020 has been heard with a greatly extended schedule. January 13th, past 1322 UT with a wide variety of non-stop songs. And also on January 14th from 1535, and again from 1725, still on the air, well past the usual closing at 1200. Walt Salmonim suggests Ron and anyone else also check for their parallel medium-wave frequency, 1035. Token English from Spain succeeded again January 14th at 2300 on 9690, a very good signal into a remote in Georgia. There was, however, some crosstalk interference, evidently Spanish ambience we don't want or need, and continuous musical background during the news summary of the week from 2302. While the heavy accents of both the announcers are tolerable, I found their breakneck speed mentally tiring. That's what we get for one program a week in English, crammed into it as much as possible. I continue to try to monitor the letterbox on Voice of Turkey every Sunday. A convenient early time for me is 1741 UT. It started right after the news, January 11th, on 9660, which puts a very good signal off the back into the remote in Holland. Jimmy said 7th January was a very special occasion, the 63rd anniversary of EOT from 1963. It reaches 85 countries on shortwave. Come on, powerful shortwave transmitters can reach every country sooner or later. Have they heard from listeners of only 85 countries over 63 years? It's a good idea to catch it early if you can, because you never know whether the North American frequency 5960 at 23 UT will be on the air or not. via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz. World of Radio 2330, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Terry Colgan of Texas Radio Shortwave, who sent a contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. He says, thanks for another year of dedication to keeping listeners and DXers up to date on the state of shortwave radio. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK 73702. Via Mike Cooper and David Cole, a Washington Post story of January 13th by Scott Nover headlined, Congress agrees to fund Voice of America, bucking Trump shutdown order. Lawmakers from both parties in houses of Congress have agreed to provide about $653 million to fund VOA's parent agency, rejecting President Trump's demand to defund the international broadcaster and shut it down. A bipartisan spending bill released Sunday would allocate $643 million for broadcasting from the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees VOA, plus nearly $10 million for capital improvements. That figure is down from $867 million appropriated for the agency each of the past 2 years, but it's more than four times the $153 million Trump requested that Congress provide to support the orderly shutdown of U.S. AGM operations. The outlay is included in a broader bipartisan spending deal negotiated by House and Senate appropriators. The package still requires House and Senate approval before heading to Trump's desk. Kari Lake said, I'm disappointed that Congress is proposing half a giga-dollar more in funding than we requested. While reductions from prior years are a step in the right direction, USAGM can still advance Trump's message and share America's story globally without wasting so much taxpayer money. The bipartisan commitment to funding USAGM reflects continued congressional support for America's role in promoting the free flow of news and info abroad, a long-standing foundation of its soft power around the world. U.S. District Judge Royce Lambert issued a preliminary injunction in April, ordering the agency to uphold its statutory obligations for broadcasting. An 82-year-old appointee of President Reagan, Lambert also criticized the administration for not spending what it was appropriated by Congress. When Congress appropriated $260 million to VOA for FY 2025, it did not anticipate that such a significant sum of taxpayer funds would be used to pay employees to sit at home for months on end, making no contribution to VOA's statutory mandate, he wrote, noting the total specifically appropriated for VOA's use in USAGM's last budget. The present bill allocates $199.5 million of the total appropriation to VOA and $138 million for USAGM operations. And nonprofit grantees will also be funded to the tune of $112.5 million for RFERL, $69 million for Middle East Broadcasting Networks, $53.5 million for Radio Free Asia, and $40.5 million for the Open Technology Fund. Bill Telford replies on January 13th, quite a long way yet from there to surviving a veto. It would bring a smile to my face if the administration responded to sweet reason and worked for and with a serious reform proposal rather than up or down life or death. But these are not the times in which we live, where compromise is often conflated with treason. That being said, even if this made it to the White House desk and was signed, two different steps, the annals of both the public and private sectors are full of administrators and executives who took revenge for an assignment they didn't want by turning everything around them into crap. Low-level employees get fired for that sort of thing. Executives are humored or get golden parachutes at worst. I found it useful to sort the WRMI frequencies by azimuth. Some of them are on the same direction and some are not. This may help you evaluate how well they reach in your direction. At 44 degrees northeast, 7730 and 1577. At 160 to the south-southeast, 9955, 5050 and 5800. 181, almost due south, 5010. 222 to the southwest, 7780. 285 to the west-northwest, 7570. 315 degrees toward me, 9455 and 5850, that is northwest. And 355 degrees, just a bit west of due north, 9395 and 5950. The current schedule grid does not show any azimuth for 17790, just targets South America and Africa. It used to be 160 degrees, and I assume it still is, as WRMI never replaced or repaired its only African antenna, which was, I believe, 81 degrees, which is a long way from 160. From WRMI FP via Alan Rowe, the content of Radio Mystery Theater. For the next 3 months, we'll cover what's coming up in January. It is scheduled Saturdays at 13 UTM 15770. That is, the full name is Martin Dawson's Radio Mystery Theater. Also UT Sundays at 0400 on 9395, and UT Fridays at midnight on 5950. On January 17th, Lights Out Radio Show, a double feature, The Chicken Heart from 1937 and The Dark from 1937. January 24th, Quiet Please Radio Show, Calling All Souls from 1948. January 31st, The Hermit's Cave Radio Show, Hansen's Ghost from 1944. Here's a major development. January 13th at 2310, I found there was no signal on 9330 from World's Last Chance Radio via WBCQ. What's wrong? It must be off the air. We soon had the news from Larry Will of Area 51. World's Last Chance Ministry has apparently gone bankrupt and abandoned shortwave radio and WBCQ, according to a message at WBCQ.com. Superstation available, one of the most powerful and versatile shortwave stations, is now available for your lease. The Monticello main superstation operating on 9330 with up to 500 kilowatts of power with its fully rotatable antenna system can put a shortwave signal anywhere in our world. Contact WBCQ at 207-889-0039 for this unique opportunity. And this led to some discussion. Bill Tilford of Indiana says an ironic aspect of their radio setup was that in recent times, the 500 kilowatt rotatable was aimed at Brazil, the UK, the US, and Canada, all dressed up with no place to go, so to speak. If the proposed refunding of the US AGM family really happens, maybe Uncle can lease some time on it. While Summit of NBC replies, a good point, Bill. It has excellent reach. Perhaps even RCI. Sackville was only a stone's throw away from Monticello, practically in Canada already. Tony Pavick in BC says, I reached out about leasing time for Pop Shop Radio. Alan says he's looking for long-term program leases, 12 hours a day on 9330. That shoots it for me. Then I looked at the World's Last Chance website. They've not yet deleted 9330, but says it's an online ministry. Beloved of Yahweh, the nonprofit WLC ministry is currently facing growing financial challenges, which have unfortunately led to the suspension of several projects. I observe that World's Last Chance bankrolled most of the cost of setting up the 500 kilowatt superstation, and thus had rights to all its airtime, although it allowed Alan and Angela worldwide 1 hour a week. So what exactly is the ownership now? Do they still have any stake in the facility, or is it 100% owned by WBCQ? In the British DX Club, Mike Bott wonders if all the improvements that they made to WBCQ had been fully paid. And Ben Cobb says about going bankrupt, is there any evidence for that beyond the websites? They go on to ask for donations, and Bill Tilford wonders. One of their strange little quirks is that in the past, if someone had wanted to donate, they would have needed to navigate a labyrinth, and would as likely as not found mention of crypto. Even now, they appear diffident about the huckstering aspect. Meanwhile, I observe that 9330 is open for Cuban spy numbers to resume without interference. In January, CIDX Messenger, Gilles Letourneau's utility column says, a major world event that might trigger some interesting utility listening. with events evolving in Venezuela, I decided to give out frequencies of possible communications that might come from there and some U.S. military HF frequencies to monitor. Based on monitoring by the shortwave listening community, the following frequencies have been noted for the Venezuelan Army and General Command and Control operations. General Staff and Command and Control in USV or ALE are 7849-8060, 9795-10600, 11155, that's the one that had the Euro Pirate on it I mentioned earlier, 12191, 13449. Venezuelan's 1st Infantry Division frequencies in USB ALE, 8184, 8260, 11625, 12191 again, 13500, and some other noted frequencies from Venezuela, 7516, 8181, 11601, 12161, and 14569. Editor Gilles says, I monitored what I thought was the best frequency for daytime and the only one active in Spanish at a few occasions around 17 to 19 UT was 14569 USB. But not sure if it was military, it did sound official. In communication of the British DX Club, Alan Pennington writes, Sign of the Times, looking through the new 2026 World Radio TV Handbook, I counted only around 75 station transmitters listed in the frequency range 2310 to 5130 kHz in the shortwave stations of the world frequency list. This is, however, spread over 2.5 pages, as different languages or programs from a station are given a separate line, such as Voice of Indonesia on 4755 with 13 line entries. Comparing this to the first WRTH I bought in 1975, which I roughly estimate had about 1,000 shortwave stations listed below the 49-meter band. In 1973, the late Acker Peterson, compiler of DSWCI's Tropical Band Survey, reported 1,106 active domestic broadcasting stations in the range 2,200 to 5,800 kHz in his Trends in Tropical Broadcasting. So, no wonder some pirate stations are taking advantage of the empty bands. Last-minute info in from John Jurasek in Florida. BBC World Service has just registered a bunch of frequencies in Farsi for Iran, effective January 15th, but not yet confirmed, via the Oman Relay, 0330 to 430, 9410, 9420, 9440, and 9590, 1630 to 17, 9465, 9570, 9605 and 9770, and 1830 to 1930, 6130, 7425 and 7445. Propagation outlook from SWPC issued January 12th. G1 minor geomagnetic storm levels January 29th. Unsettled to active January 19th to 23rd, 27th, 28th, 30th, 31st, and February 4th to 7th. ANK indices peaking at 18 and 4 January 19th, 25 and 5 January 29th, 15 and 4 February 4th. Quietest states of 5 and 2 January 17th and 18th, February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Solar flux rising from 106 January 18th to a peak of 140 on the 23rd and down to 105 by February 5th. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2330 with a standard disclaimer.